Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, we do. And it's the all the newsletters, but in particular the annual forecast model, which we've mentioned in the last several interviews, and I'm particularly proud of it because it sort of warned what you're now seeing in the markets now, based on cyclical work. Anyway, we get an offer of 50% promo code if you want to take advantage of the forecast model. It's 2022 half off is the promo code. You go to VRTrader.com and you can see all our newsletters up on the screen, but in particular the VR Forecaster is the one I'm referring to. So been only doing it since 1987, so it must have some reliability, otherwise we wouldn't be doing the work all these years. Nothing's perfect, but I know it called a crash in 1987, which sort of spoiled me, got me going ever since. In January of that year, you know, it said watch out for October, and we actually published that saying watch out for that big slip in October coming up. So like I say, not every year is perfect, but it's made some dramatic calls. And just recently now, you know, this sell-off we're starting to see and the top the market's putting in here is all part of that model. And we also do a model for other markets, Jim. You know, we have gold in there and lithium and silver and Bitcoin and all kinds of fun stuff. In fact, the model for Bitcoin a year ago, January, called for a big rise through the following 12 months, which is what happened. It also called for a rise in crude oil and so forth. So, you know, I do technical work, you know, my volume work, but over the years I've become more and more balancing that with the cyclical forecasts that we've come up with using all kinds of tools and, you know, patterns in the market that tend to repeat themselves, which are just not talked about in the financial press at all, because it sounds like, you know, you're too far out. You have to talk about balance sheets or what the Federal Reserve is doing, you know, or what some company spokesman says about their earnings projections and forecasts, or what, you know, Janet Yellen is saying about the Treasury and the U.S. debt, or so forth and so on. And turns out none of that really necessarily makes you money. It's just a lot of noise. And a lot of the government reports that come out that the street, not me, but the street holds their breath for, you know, coming up every, you know, few weeks, depending on which model you're looking at, generally are incorrect or revised later, or they're politically motivated. So I really don't pay much attention to them. I know the street does. They get all excited about it because they believe what the government is saying, which is the first mistake. So, you know, anyway, you got to do your own work. You got to look at the charts. You got to look at market sentiment. You got to look at cycles. History does repeat itself in different forms. And that's a long explanation of the VR forecast during what I'm doing. So anyway, the promo code is 2022, half off. Go to VR Trader.
Are you a financial advisor?
I am not. I do not provide financial advice, create portfolios, advise clients. Used to do that a long time ago, but I don't provide financial advice. We do produce our newsletters.
Now, taking a look back at the stock market this week, some people have warned that the proportion of people's portfolios in equities is at about the same point as it was during the dot-com crash back in 2000. Does that worry you? And is that a warning sign just in itself?
Well, the only difference is that the dot-com bubble lasted for a period of time. And this whole AI nonsense, which is not new. AI has been around a while, just not talked about. But the push on AI is relatively new, and it took a few years till I think it was in the mid-90s it started, and it ended in 2000, 2001. So it took a while for all that excessive speculation to really run its course. So I don't know if it's run long enough, you know, to say the bubble is over. Everybody's talking about it. You know, remember back then, every company in the late 90s, the 1990s, would change their name to .com company because they wanted to, you know, they wanted the people to believe, oh, they're cool and they're using the most current technology. So if you had a company XYZ, suddenly they changed their name to XYZ.com. So what's happening now, and it's sort of similar, is everybody saying, oh, yeah, we're using AI, or we're going to incorporate AI in our business plans, and many times when this happens, their stock goes up. So it's a manipulative ploy. It's really irrelevant. The dot-coms really did help those companies, just gave them more exposure to keep up with what the Joneses were doing, so to speak, and the AI is the same thing. But the problem this time, like I said, it's early on, so it could stretch out for a few years. In some of the AI plays, I know a lot of new companies are being created with the word AI in it. They're going to try to raise capital. And so I'm not sure if it's all out of the way or it's just going to be more accelerated this time, come and go a lot faster than it did back in the dot-com bubble, which is what you're referring to. So, I more or less see it as, irrational exuberance, too much reaction to it, and too much excitement about something. Not that it doesn't have any meaning, but I'm getting emails every day about, this AI tool that you could use. Of course, Microsoft has the one they put up on their platform, and everybody, is jumping on board. But, I'm nervous about it, but I don't know if we want to compare apples to oranges. But I am concerned about the markets. I did some studies this past week, looking at some of the charts, and there seems to be some correlation, and this is preliminary work on my part, but seeing that there's some relationship here between the fall of 1986 and the spring of 1987, comparing the current period back to that pattern, and the end result was a crash in 1987 that came a few months later. So If that pattern, of course, one instance is not enough, and it could just be a coincidence, but that could be setting the stage for a crash, later this year, early next year, of some significance. So doesn't mean it's happening today, but there seems to be some similarity in the chart, so that is catching my attention a little bit now. But I don't know if you want me to just go on and just rant and rave here a little bit, Jim, but, I warned in mid-March when that cover story came in on Barron's magazine. We talked about this the previous interview. The bull right on the cover, and that reminded me of the almost identical cover story, which occurred, I think it was on March 10th, 2000. That's 24 years ago, and that was right at the top of the NASDAQ, and it just collapsed from there. It was March 10th, 2000. So anyway, March 16th, I think, was the cover story that Barron's notably put out this past month. And I said, I put it right. In fact, it's in my newsletter every night. You see the first thing when you open my newsletter, you see the bull on the cover of Barron's magazine. So, I used to start my presentations when I did live presentations at the Money Show and all these places, and I would pull up all the examples of how the financial press is totally mistimes the market. And I have to pull up my old PowerPoint presentation, but dozens and dozens of examples of an article appears and it's right at the wrong time, bullish at gold when it tops out, or bearish of gold right at the bottom, or cover stories I just mentioned in Barron's and some of the press people in the audience didn't like me too much when I said that, you know, because they're succumbed to the same emotion and bad information that everybody else is. And the bad information comes from the government, comes from PR people, comes from the financial media, which is biased. You know, it's you know, so this is the problem. You know, you got to do your own work. If you see, you know, a lot of good news or a lot of discussion on the subject, you can think that, well, something's peculiar here, that maybe we should be looking the other way or trying to figure out why we're hearing this information. So it's part of the overall, you know, manipulation of the markets, which has gone on forever. You know, Jesse Livermore, Bernard Baruch, you know, all talked about this, wrote about it in their books, and if you study the history of these people, and they talk about how markets are manipulated. So, and then now on top of everything else, you know, we've got the government big time in there with the Plunge Protection Team, which is the working group of financial markets that Ronald Reagan created, the Equity Stabilization Fund, which goes all the way back to the 1930s, and absolutely zero discussion of this in the media. It's like, if you mention this, you're fired. I mean, it's just incredible how there's no discussion of this. And you'll say, well, if you think that's happening, prove it. Well, I guess I'd have to get Freedom of Information Act reports to see what the government's doing or not doing. And some people actually did this going back a few years ago, and I think even recently with the Federal Reserve, and found out they were doing some pretty sleazy things, like, you know, buying stock or bonds in a company like Harley Davidson. You know, that was one of many examples. I remember pulling that out of the Freedom of Information Act report. And, you know, if I was sitting in front of Chairman Powell at one of these meetings, which I would never be allowed to do, I would say, well, what stocks are you investing in now, Mr. Powell? You know, what companies are you bailing out secretly that we don't hear about? How are you involved in the movement of the markets? Forget the interest rate nonsense. Let's talk about the manipulation of the markets and the money supply. Are you increasing or decreasing that, which has an effect on the markets? Not the interest rates. I mean, things that really affect the ability of money to move or banks to lend. Are you restricting the government's, the bank's ability to lend money, or you're loosening it up? Forget what interest rates are at the time. And, you know, these little subtle things that are just not discussed in the press. So, you need to know, you know, you need to do your work on this stuff, and, hopefully you can dance around it and benefit.
Well, in late March, a secret report done by the RCMP was uncovered by Matt Malone, a professor at the BC Thompson Rivers University, and it warned politicians they should be ready for wide unrest in the country once Canadians realize how poor they are. And then they said another reason for it is distrust in government information, and then that part was all redacted, as if that's not going to make you even more suspicious.
Right. I know when they release all these reports, and I don't want to cite the specific situation, but you get all these tons of reports and information, and then you get all the black paint across these sections, the redacted portion, so you can't read it. I mean, it's a tragedy. You know, you get the reports, but the key parts have been, you know, whited out, and you can't read everything, and you have to read between the lines where things haven't been written out. It really comes down to government. You know, I mean, the others write about this and talk about it more than I do, but bad government. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. People in a position of power, you know, exercise it in irrational ways, and maybe they're just a subject of mental illness.
Well, I wonder about Prime Minister Justin Trudeau saying, oh, too many migrants were allowed into Canada. We didn't build enough housing. He's been in power since 2015, and it's like, this is a surprise to him now that we had 1 million people added to the Canadian population in 1 year, and another 1 million added a year later. We didn't have enough housing before that. So we have a government that's not even aware of what it's doing. And of course, it's not like people haven't been telling them.
Yeah, well, they just choose to ignore it, or it has political benefit for them, like the border situation here in the U.S., you know, where there's open border, there's no immigration control. You know, my grandparents came over here from Europe, and they had to go through Ellis Island and really certify who they were and go through the process, and here they're letting millions of people cross the border. Why? Because it creates potential voters for the Democrats. And they say, oh, this is good. It provides needed labor into the country. But that's fine. But you have to vet these people. It's not happening. And you're getting, you know, Chinese coming across the border and former criminals and all kinds of stuff. It's just insane. And it's all politically motivated. Trudeau has his own, you know, reasons. And, you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats in this country have theirs for doing what they're doing. You know, so it's all politically motivated, unfortunately. But yeah. Anyway, immigrants here are getting freebies. They're getting places to stay. They're getting cash. I hear they're getting credit cards. They're getting medical care, things that unfortunately people are living on the streets, you know, all over this country. And I mean, as you see, it's going on in Canada and Vancouver and everywhere else. Those people that are left to their own on the streets, and find their own way. But the immigrants coming across illegally get all kinds of kickers and benefits and cash and support. In fact, there's a story right on TV right now. Canada's Justin Trudeau. Canada needs to get back under control because of illegal immigrants. There's actually a story right on TV as we're doing this story.
Yeah, but it's not just illegals. These people were allowed legally. They came in. You know, they were rubber stamped. You know, welcome to Canada. Oh, it's no job for you. There's no place for you to stay, but welcome. Well, we'll talk some real numbers right after this with Mark Leibovit.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, why has gold become so much more popular than it was, say, 6 months ago?
Well, I think a lot has to do with the BRICS nations, you know, with China and Russia and all the other BRIC nations are doing and trying to accumulate gold and create a currency backed by gold. And gold, unfortunately, has been suppressed and manipulated. We talked about this a few minutes ago with government interference in the markets. There's a lot of documentation for the longest time. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with manipulation of the futures contracts and the COMEX market and so forth for many, many years. And maybe they've backed off from doing that. Maybe they've lost control of doing that. I can't explain all that, but there is worldwide shortages of the metal. You know, it's not so easy to get the metal in quantities anymore, particularly with, you know, the big nations like China and Russia and others accumulating it. And I think, you know, things just snapped. And we finally got a breakout here, which is long overdue in the charts. And I've been talking about next target up to 2,700. And I don't have a time frame, but, you know, could be sooner rather than later, and then we'll take it from there. But the truth is, we're on an inflation-adjusted basis. Gold should be several thousand dollars higher than it is right now, and it's not. But whether it'll catch up to those big numbers, I guess it's a question of shortage of supply, alternate currency if created, you know, and if it's backed by gold or not. There's so many variables out there, but we finally took it out, and, you know, the way I read the charts, I would think we're in an uptrend here probably to the end of the decade, you know, to 2030, you know, taking a long-term chart on long-term cycles. So that there's a lot of time for it to move higher. And, we've already learned about the volatility of gold, you know, when it ran up to 1900, you know, back in 2011, and then it took 4 or 5 years and got down to about 1,000, had about $1,000 correction, and then eventually took off. So you have to, obviously, depends on you're trading or you have infinite patience and you're just in it as a hedge against, currencies, particularly the U.S. dollar, which is probably headed ultimately the way of the dodo, you know, with the money that's being spent and the debt that's being created and the action of the BRIC nations and so forth. So maybe a good idea just to have small denominations of gold coins if you have to, you know, buy food and do stuff in the future, not the big, you know, 1 ounce gold coins or even silver, you know, small amounts in case things get really get nasty. So bullish. Some of the stocks are starting to catch up a little bit, which is nice. The stocks have lagged for the most part. The metal itself and silver start to break out here the last few days and catch up a little bit. It hasn't broken out to the extent of gold, but starting to move here. So that's a good sign. So, you know, these are the areas that are currently viable for investors. You know, oil has been strong. And, of course, we have stuff going on in the Mideast even today with Israel and Iran getting, you know, more aggressive and threats and so forth. But that's an oil story forever. And gold is a place to be. And, you know, these are not only hedges, but, you know, safe places to invest. And since commodity prices seem to be appreciating now, and we'll see if the dollar weakens, start to weaken a little bit the last few days, Jim. So if it starts to weaken more, that supports commodity prices. So we'll see if that unfolds. But it doesn't have to happen that way. We see many times where markets don't necessarily move inversely. We always seem to be saying, oh, the dollar has to go down for gold to go up. Well, we saw recently that these markets can move together. So you have to evaluate each market separately. And that seems to be the best reading. So commodities, copper, gold, silver, oil, this is where the action is right now.
The earthquake in Taiwan, it will affect the world economy because they're a major source of computer chips. I'm reading that most of the suppliers there, 70%, say they're back online, but it's specialty items that will be hit hardest because they were made in these little shops that perhaps didn't survive the quake.
Yeah, we're anxiously waiting, you know, another year or so until the Taiwan semiconductor plant here in Phoenix, a multi-billion dollar operation, is, you know, up and running. And that's, you know, that's well planned because we don't know, or the company doesn't know, the future of Taiwan politically and so forth. So, that's one of the things that's going on right now. It's really wild out there. We have a lot of geocosmic stuff here. You're bringing up Taiwan and the earthquake. Well, you know, we've got a new moon on Monday the 8th, and we also have a big solar eclipse on Monday the 8th coming up. And we talked about this before, you know, there could possibly be some geocosmic risk to the planet. Maybe the Taiwan earthquake is somewhat related to the upcoming eclipse. We don't know what powers exist out there in the universe that somehow connect these two events, but perhaps there could be. But there's concern that the eclipse on April 8th could trigger earthquakes, and the way the path of the sun's eclipse runs right over the New Madrid Fault in the middle part of the United States. And so if that thing gets triggered, and God forbid, rumblings in Yellowstone, something like that gets triggered, you know, there could be some catastrophic event. So just speculation. Most of the scientists say, and probably with reasonable cause, that because the eclipse passes over a certain area, that doesn't mean there's going to be other effects. But I don't believe it. I believe the powers out there, the planets, and the ability of the moon to pass between the Earth and the sun, and you know, there's forces out there. I mean, I'm not an astrologer, but, you know, I know friends who follow the planets and correlations and what's happening in the universe to events here on the Earth. And there's been, you know, so many events that just can't explain, you know, in terms of, you know, human rationalization, you know, there could be geocosmic effects on that. So it'll be interesting next week to see if anything happens or if it just turns out to be like the Mayan end of the world story. You remember back in 2012 with the movies coming out, and since it was in the Mayan calendar, that was going to be the end of the world. And many people realized later it might have just been a cycle change, not necessarily the end of the world. but turned to be out to be a, much about nothing. So the same thing could be with the solar eclipse next week. But I'm always keeping an eye out on this stuff because I am very geocosmically oriented, as you know, and I follow cycles and I see correlations on the lunar cycles to highs and lows in the market. And there are seasonal tendencies in the markets, as I've discussed, you know, with the various equinoxes and solstices and how they affect, you know, where we are in terms of market position and so forth over the years. So, you know, we'll see. It'll be an interesting time. A lot of stuff going on. Of course, you're aware in your part of the world of all that seismic activity off the coast of Big Vancouver Island, which is not a news story. But apparently a lot of earthquakes and shifts have been occurring. And maybe this is all tied to the same time frame, you know, with the solar eclipse and what we just mentioned, Taiwan. All these seems to be happening on the planet. So, you know, all of a sudden, the story in the Mideast, unfortunate tragedy there, and conflicts around the planet in humankind become irrelevant when Mother Earth decides to step forward and say, hey, I got something more important to talk about. You know what I mean? That literally can change the planet dramatically, you know? So anyway, we can get off in a long discussion about human history and, you know, what is previous civilizations probably and have already been documented and existed here on the planet tens of thousands of years ago that suddenly disappeared and possibly because of geocosmic events or tragedy just wiped them off the planet. So we could sit here and be cocky about all the wonderful things we're doing and AI and our potential exploration of Mars and the bases on the moon and all this fun stuff, and then suddenly Mother Earth does one of these polar shifts, or suddenly there's some dramatic planetary event, and that could change things really quickly. That's my interpretation of it. I mean, we're getting off on a tangent here a bit, but I think changes happen very dramatically. And just they talk about the story of Atlantis, the lost continent, how it was destroyed in a night and a day. I think Plato wrote about this and others, you know, that overnight just suddenly something dramatic hits and everything else is irrelevant. So got to enjoy life and take it each day as it comes, because whether it's 1 year or 10,000 years, there's another one coming. And I don't think the solar eclipse next week is part of that, but you never know.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It's always fun. Love to get off on these tangents. Enjoy it. And thank you for interviewing me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.